In his beloved Book of Hours, the poet Rainer Marie Rilke writes of a God who speaks to us before we are born, and who goes forth with us out of the night and into the new day. "Let everything happen to you," God says. "No feeling is the farthest out. Nearby," God says, "is the country they call life. You will know it by its seriousness. Give me your hand. Give me your hand," God says. But that is a hand we don't always want to take, because it takes us to life in all of its mystery, to beauty and yet to horror, to joy and yet to heartbreak. It's a hand that takes us to a parable we might rather not hear as well as Nick told it, to truths we would frankly rather not know. Truths about the rot on the vines of human relationships, about the fungus on the roots of human society itself. Fungus that leads us generation after generation to violate these beautiful commandments God gave God's people so long ago to keep us together. God wants and longs for us to live in peace and dignity, respect and humility and faith. That's what the commandments are for. For getting us through the wilderness together. For helping us to live in harmony on our way to the promised land. But from the beginning, the commandments were never enough. God gives them to God's people, to all of us. But it's up to us to follow them. And we struggle with following. We struggle mightily. We idolize, we covet, we betray. God says, "Thou shalt not hurt, thou shalt not kill." That hasn't stopped us. That hasn't stopped us from killing, from being as brutal to each other as the tenants are to the slaves in the story. Slaves sent to bring back the harvest. It is as true now as it was then. God gives us an agreement, a vineyard to cultivate, a prize. You know, the grapes were the blessed fruit among the seven blessed fruits that God gave God's people. God trusts us with the harvest. But as we're pruning the vines and picking the grapes, something gets into us. We stop paying attention. Something toxic gets into the soil, our soil. Yeah, the grapes look pretty good. And we want the baskets of produce for ourselves. On second thought. Harvest time comes and the fruit is ready in abundance. But we don't want to give it back. No. We'd rather silence those who ask for the produce we owe them than receive them with grace and return to them what is rightfully theirs. And so a harvest of love, a harvest of trust, becomes a harvest of fear and a vineyard of rejection, in which in turn seep into the soil that fear and rejection infecting it. Fruit of such soil compels those vineyard tenants in Jerusalem centuries ago to do what they do to those who come to collect it. We can only imagine that same kind of fruit compelled Stephen Paddock a week ago in Las Vegas to do what he did. What finally is the motive for such an act? The truth is, we don't know. We may never know. Was it greed? Was it delusion? Was it shame? All we know that is true in this case is that we don't know. And that's hard. It's hard not to know. That is a serious country of life that we live in. Like the comedian Jimmy Kimmel said in his monologue on Monday night, I highly recommend that to you if you haven't seen it yet. You know, he's a comedian. That's how he makes his living. He said, I'd rather laugh at the end of the day. That's my job. Laughing, making other people laugh. But he said, that is becoming increasingly difficult. He's a native of Las Vegas, by the way. It's becoming increasingly difficult to laugh at the end of the day, he said. And then he started to cry. God bless him for feeling, for crying a tear, an abundance of tears. It's appropriate. You know, weeping is actually a term used by vintners. It's a term used to describe a wound on a grapevine when sap is expelled by that wound, the wound caused by pruning. You know what? Weeping on a grapevine is a sign of health. It means things are going well, that it's alive, it's going to bear fruit. It's true for grapevines, and it's true for us. Weeping is part of the pruning we all need to experience. Weeping at the losses of late and at the truth that among a number of other things, our country has a problem with gun violence. Let's name it. That's what the parable does for us. It names it. We have to shy away from not naming things. Name it. That's what the gospel frees us to do. You know, other countries have other problems, no doubt. But today, that's not our issue. What other countries are dealing with. It's what we are dealing with. This issue with guns is uniquely ours. And we have to own that. You know, Columbine was in 1999. I was kind of a young minister then, and I had to try to say something in 1999. But then there was Virginia Tech, and Newtown, and Charleston, and Pulse, and on, hundreds of thousands of lives lost and changed forever. As Roseanne Cash, someone I kind of worship but don't idolize, there's a line. Roseanne Cash, she's been a gun control advocate for 20 years. She's someone who has received death threats. Within the past year, she said it in her editorial this week. This is America 2017, when we threaten each other for trying to talk about these things. A country where we can't seem to talk about these divides, where it comes more naturally to dismiss one another from the vineyard, or worse, threaten one another, than try to find common ground with those we don't agree with, where we can't see each other anymore as the blessed fruit God created us to be. How many more times will we come to church on a Sunday, struggling to understand all this, what this country has come to, trying to figure out what God has to say about it and what God is asking of us today? Are we just going to say it happens and carry on because everything is so overwhelming and we're so tired and there's nothing to be done because it's never worked before? Are we going to dig a little deeper, maybe a lot deeper, into the soil of our own souls and of our social fabric than ever before, and hold a sample of that soil up to the light of God's truth? Find out what in the world has poisoned our minds and shrunk our hearts. What disease-laden, intertwined vines of patriotism and pettiness and liberal self-righteousness and some form of Christian faith woven together have given us permission to act as if there's an expendable vineyard out there for each of us, with the vines and the grapes over here and the tenants over there, the landowner up there, the slaves coming in, all functioning somehow in isolation from one another? Doesn't work that way. As if this gun issue is separate from the way we treat the earth or the poor or the marginalized. As if how the vintner tends to the vine has no relationship to the quality of the fruit. God has given us the vineyard to care for, and look what we've done to it. I saw a comment earlier this week. Stop, world. Stop. I want to get off. It's understandable. Be understandable if God said, you know, stop. Let me off. I'm done. But that is the exact opposite of what God does. God looks at this vineyard with all of its mess and tangles with compassion and sends some courageous souls in there to look for the harvest. And then God sends in other brave people, people who are willing to put their boots on, their gloves on, wade into the muck and risk their lives for the good fruit. And they do. And it cost them this errand of their lives. And then God sends Jesus from the corner of mercy and grace. Rejected but not bent on revenge, bent on breaking us open with his love, bent on replanting with a basket full of seeds of revolutionary courage and love. Seeds he calls us to spread. The Christian dies reaching, a theologian has said, reaching for the hand that gives us those seeds, reaching out with baskets overflowing with the fruits that they bear, reaching for the one who says to each one of us, come with me to the country they call life. May it be so. Amen.